How you guys are doing? Tonight I have the awesome responsibility and privilege to boast of Christ, just as we sang just a moment ago. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast in anything save the cross of Christ. So that is my desire tonight, to make much of Christ, to make much of his person and of his work in the sinner's place that has allowed us to worship God in spirit and in truth. So for that, I ask the Lord's blessing upon his word, the anointing of his Holy Spirit to give us eyes to see Jesus Christ, and a heart that responds in faith and worship and adoration. May it be for all to his glory. Listen to these words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. As many of you know, these were the last words of Christ as he died on the cross, recorded for us in the Holy Scriptures. And tonight we will focus on one of these phrases, on one of these words. We will look tonight to, or listen and hear the words of Christ. It is finished. And these words are recorded for us in John's Gospel, and they are meant to point us to the absolute sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this will be my main point tonight. And it is my desire, my prayer, that as we leave tonight, we will say, what a wonderful Savior. What a glorious, merciful, all-sufficient Savior. That has been my prayer. So turn your Bibles to John chapter 19, verse 30. One verse tonight. And if you don't have your Bibles, then I will read the verse here for you. John chapter 19, verse 30 says this: when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. These were words that Christ uttered seconds away from his death on the cross. These words, it is finished, three words in English, one word in the Greek, points us to Christ's death on the cross as an achievement, as a victory. And the Greek word tetelestai, I want to explain it to you what it means, so we'll have an understanding of these amazing and powerful words of Christ. The word tetelestai, it is finished, it means to complete, to fulfill, or to accomplish a task or a job. This word was also used to refer to a debt that was paid in full. And here, tetelestai, it refers to a once for all time completed task, and a once-for-all-time satisfactory payment. Here that Christ alone guaranteed through his work on the cross, thus highlighting, pointing us to his absolute sufficiency to save dead sinners and to present them holy and above reproach before the Father. These words of Christ, it is finished, are a triumphant declaration. They are a victor's cry, not a victim's cry. And tonight we will look at the sufficiency of Christ's atonement. And by atonement, I mean his work on the cross. What he did on the cross to secure salvation for his people. So we will look at the sufficiency of Christ's atonement. And then we will look to the believer's sufficiency in Christ's atonement. As we look to the sufficiency of Christ's atonement tonight, I want to point you to two things: his once-for-all completed task and his once-for-all satisfactory payment. John 17, Jesus said these words as he lifted his eyes up to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. On the cross, Jesus Christ finished the entire work of redemption. This was the purpose for which he was sent by the Father. He came to do the Father's will and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to live and to die for those whom the Father had given him. Now, before we look at his death on the cross, we must first look at his life on earth as God in the flesh. These words, "it is finished," point us to something that Christ accomplished, something that he fulfilled. What is it that Christ accomplished and fulfilled in his earthly life? Well, I will point you briefly to three areas. They will be his physical sufferings, his work, and the prophecies. Now, as I take you through his physical sufferings, I'm just going to read some portions of Scripture that point us to how Christ fulfilled these. Isaiah the prophet said that regarding the Messiah to come, that he was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Then Christ said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." Christ on earth suffered. And not only at the cross did he suffer, not only at the hands of the Roman soldiers did he suffer, but he also suffered throughout his life, as he said. But also, I don't only want to highlight his physical sufferings, I also want to talk about his work. His entire life, work of perfect and personal obedience to his Father and to his Father's law as a believer's representative, whereby he earned for them righteousness and eternal life. Listen to these passages that highlight the glory of Christ. In Hebrews 10:7, it says of this regarding Christ, "Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." As Christ said to the Father in his prayer, "I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." And in the Gospel of John, Jesus says these words, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. For the words that the Father has given me to accomplish, these very works that I am doing, they bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." He goes on to say, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." These were the words of Christ. He came to fulfill, to accomplish a task. In fact, his name Jesus, that Mary was told, "You shall call his name Jesus." Why? For he will save his people from their sins. And did not Jesus go to John when he went to be baptized, saying, "John, I need to be baptized by, I need to be baptized." And John said, "Lord, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." But Jesus answered him and said, "Let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So these words, "it is finished," point us to his accomplished work through his physical sufferings, through his work, his perfect life of obedience, and also all the prophecies that were mentioned of him throughout the Bible. Prophecies, types, and shadows that all pointed to the coming Messiah who would accomplish a glorious task in the, for the Father and for his glory. In fact, in Genesis 3:15, we are given the first message of the gospel, where the serpent's head was to be crushed by the seed of the woman. We have prophecies regarding his birth. Isaiah said that the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Micah 5:2 takes us to his place of birth. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." We have prophecies regarding his role as king. He was going to be after the line of David. Zechariah prophesied of a king coming, saying, "Behold your king, he comes riding on a donkey." Prophecies regarding his role as a prophet, that there would be a prophet, as Moses said, that they were to listen to, Deuteronomy 18. We have prophecies regarding his role as a priest, in Genesis 22:18, where we see the role of Abraham and Isaac, and how there we see that God himself was to provide a sacrifice. Isaiah 53 clearly talks about one who was to come, one who was to suffer, one who was to take the place of his people, one who was to be their representative. Prophecy is also regarding his role as Messiah. Isaiah said that the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man will leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. He goes on to say, behold, this is the Lord speaking through Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. And a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He goes on to say later on, Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And was not this fulfilled when Christ went to the synagogue in the Gospel of Luke, where it says that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as is custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he read these words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back down, and he said to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. There are many prophecies that pointed to his coming, many prophecies that pointed to his work, many prophecies that pointed to his role, to what he would do. And on the cross, when Christ uttered those words, it is finished, he had completed his mission as the Messiah, as the God-man. But primarily for our focus tonight, I want us to see these words, it is finished, as his once for all satisfactory payment. And these words refer to the debt that Christ alone paid on the cross. It refers to the entire work of redemption that Christ alone brought to full completion on the cross in behalf of sinners. Now notice these words, it is finished. These words expose mankind's total inability to save themselves, to appease or to lessen God's wrath, or to do anything to assist or to add to Christ's work of salvation. In fact, it is foolish. It is arrogant. It is blasphemous to think that we can add to the work of Christ. For he proclaimed it is finished. It was a victory cry. It was a sufficient victory. Regarding the cross, a commentator said this, quote, this was the acme, the high point of his sufferings, the chief of his works, and the primary focus of the prophecies. Because of Christ's finished work on the cross, salvation is secured for believers by God, and there is nothing that we can add or hope to add to it. End quote. This is the sufficiency, the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Christ's death on the cross was and is a single sacrifice, completely satisfactory for all time. As you go through the book of Hebrews, it says this word once for all, many times, indicating that his sacrifice was a one-time act of eternal value that will never need nor require repetition. I'll read a few. Hebrews 7:27. Listen as I read. He has no need, speaking of Christ, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he had offered up himself. Hebrews 9:12 says that Christ entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Hebrews 9:26, Christ has appeared once for all at the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 10, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Those were the words of Christ on the cross, fulfilling and bringing to clarity these words, "It is finished." Jesus Christ died as an offering for sins. He died in order to pay the penalty for sins. Jesus is the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. On the cross, Jesus Christ brought to full completion the entire sacrificial system of the Old Testament to which they pointed to. He brought to completion the prophecies of Isaiah 53. Why was this necessary? On Good Friday, we must ask this question. We must realize, why the cross? Why did Jesus have to die? Very simply, Jesus died on the cross for sinners. Yet, there's so much more to it. We first must understand that all human beings are born spiritually dead, according to God's word. We are born dead in sin, and we are born under God's curse, under God's wrath. Ephesians 2 talks about that. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and that there is no one righteous. Romans talks about that. The Bible tells us that all have offended God's justice and that all deserve his judgment. So in order for us to understand the absolute necessity of Christ's death on the cross, we must first understand the character and nature of God, and we must understand the seriousness of our sin. Briefly, the Bible tells us that God is holy, that God is just, that God is righteous, that he is good, and that he is perfect. The Bible also tells us, as I just read, that we are sinners. And as sinners, we see that sin, in God's eyes, is a crime that deserves punishment. The wages of sin is death. Sin is not only a crime, but sin is a debt. We have failed to do what God has commanded of us, which is complete obedience to his word. Therefore, we have incurred a debt that is impossible for us to pay. Romans 3:23, all have fallen short of God's glory. And that is why I started with the life of Christ, how he fulfilled in his life the perfect law of God. Not only perfectly, but personally. He did it with the mindset of, I am here to do your will. I am here to glorify you on earth, Father. It was as the psalmist said, he was blessed because he always had the Lord's glory in mind in his eyes. He wanted to glorify the Father. He wanted to reveal the Father. Sin also brings bondage. We're in bondage to sin. We are under its curse, its power and penalty. And sin also brings hostility. It brings alienation. Because of our sin, God has separated himself from us. God is pure, and he cannot look at sin. Isaiah said regarding the Father, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." By sinning against God, we have committed a crime. We have incurred a debt. We have brought enmity and judgment upon ourselves, and rightly so. God cannot excuse our sins. He must punish our sins because God is holy and pure and he is just. As Abraham said, the judge of all the earth must do what is right. God's justice and demands must be satisfied, and the penalty and the debt of sin must be paid. Therefore, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he did what? He sent his only Son. He gave him. John also talked about that the Word, who is God, became flesh and dwelt among us so that he might live as our representative, as our substitute. He might live the life that we could not live and bring glory to the Father. And not only live in our place, but as we are focusing on tonight, so that he might die in our place. Christ's life of perfect obedience and death on the cross as a sacrifice and a substitute for sinners satisfied the demands of God's holiness and justice. He that knew no sin suffered in the place of those that knew no righteousness. And on the cross, our sins were placed on Christ. And he, therefore, because of that, became an object of divine wrath. God's wrath against sin was poured out on Christ in the believer's place. This was his role. This was his purpose, to stand in the place of sinners. He died on the cross for sinners. Christ took our curse. Sin had to be dealt with so that we could be reconciled to a holy God. And through and by his death on the cross, Christ has forever taken away our sin. He's taken away our guilt, and he's brought forgiveness and reconciliation. Christ offered himself up as a believer's substitute to God as a perfect sacrifice for sin. And the Word of God tells us in Hebrews that Christ, Hebrews 2:27, let me find where this is at. I'll move on. What's my place here? Never mind. We know that on the cross, when Christ stood on the cross, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he became sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. On the cross, Christ was treated as if he had committed every one of our sins. On the cross, Christ was treated as if he had committed every one of your sins. And on the cross, he satisfied the penalty for sin, so that in him we might receive now the righteousness of Christ. So that now God can treat us as if we had lived the perfect life of his Son. The words of Christ, "It is finished," are so amazing and so powerful, for they point us to his victory. They point us to his sufficiency. They point us to his satisfaction. Galatians said that Christ redeemed us from the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." Colossians 2, just listen to this, "Says, then you who were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." That is the cry of Christ on the cross. "It is finished." The penalty and the debt are paid in full. God remains just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Death is destroyed, Satan is crushed, and God is glorified. All on the cross. Christ alone delivers sinners from the penalty, power, and the presence of sin. In Christ alone, the full redemption was paid in full. "It is finished," were his words from the cross. Christ's death was a unique death, in that only he was able to die as a man for sinners, and as God who alone was able to satisfy an eternal debt. So as the God-man, he alone accomplished actual salvation for his people on the cross. Not only was his death a unique death, but it was a satisfactory death. Why? Because, first of all, it was a substitutionary death. He stood in your place. He stood in the believer's place. And he suffered the holy, righteous, just wrath of God against sin so that it could be paid for. So that Christ could say, "It is finished. It is paid for. Tetelestai." And the wrath of God has been satisfied. Not only is it a satisfactory death, it is a triumphant death. For as we will celebrate on Sunday, we know that our Redeemer lives, and it was a triumphant death, for he rose from the grave 3 days later, giving evidence to his deity, giving evidence to his claims, giving evidence to his satisfaction, bringing glory to the Father. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Notice here where Christ gave up his spirit. No one took it from him. He gave up his spirit. Listen to what this quote says from one commentator regarding Christ, where he, in his resurrection, he now lives again to appear in the presence of God for his people and to give out of his fullness his mercies and his treasures. Christ said, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father." And that is the sufficiency of Christ's atonement. It is finished. It is paid for. It is complete. Nothing can be added to it nor taken away from it. It can never be added. It can never be done again. It is complete for eternity. That is the sufficiency of his satisfaction on the cross in the sinner's place. He has brought glory to the Father. He has now brought reconciliation between God and man. Sin has been paid for. The debt is paid in full. Now I want to point you to the believer's sufficiency in Christ's atonement. I've shown you very briefly tonight the sufficiency of his atonement. I want you to understand your sufficiency, what you have because of Christ's atonement. And I want to point you to two things briefly. I want you to remember your redemption in Christ. Remember your eternal security in Christ. Remember your salvation in Christ. And I also want you to remember your resources in Christ. So remember your redemption in Christ. Remember your resources in Christ. What ought to be your response? What ought to be our response to the sufficiency of the finished work of Christ? Listen to what the psalmist said regarding sin. "But if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that you may be feared." Romans 6 talks about that since we have died with Christ, we are now dead to sin and alive to God. Romans says, "You must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. But now, because of your sufficiency in Christ, now because of his Spirit within you, you can now present yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but you are now under grace." Romans 8:1. Because of Christ, because of his completed work on the cross, the Father now tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, what a Savior. This is your sufficiency in Christ. This is your standing in Christ. There is no more condemnation. Sin has been paid for. The debt has been paid in full. Paul goes on to say in Romans, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword?" Listen to what he says. For I'm confident that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And tonight, if you are a believer, this is your sufficiency in Christ. You are forever secure in the Father's hands. Not only that, we know that because of Christ and because of his Spirit dwelling within us, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. Not only is his sacrifice sufficient for our salvation, but his sacrifice is also sufficient for your sanctification, for your being made holy, your being conformed into the image of Christ. Now you have the very Spirit of Christ within you. 2 Corinthians, as I read earlier, I want to remind you that for our sake, the Father made him, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And therefore, because of this, he said earlier, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and he gave us, believers, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We have now been entrusted not only with the message of reconciliation, but with the ministry of reconciliation. And you have the means now through the Spirit of Christ within you to proclaim Christ died on the cross for sinners, satisfying the Father, raising again 3 days later, ascending back to his throne where he rules and reigns and where he will be returning soon. And in the meantime, he has given us the charge to advance his kingdom, to go out into the world to proclaim the gospel to every tribe, to every nation, to every language, to every child, to every person that they need Christ. People are sinners. Christ died for sinners. They need Christ. And we have the message for them that Christ is their Savior. May we worship him tonight as we look to his work on the cross. And may we live in light of these truths, our sufficiency in Christ. May we remember who we are in Christ. We are secure in Christ. We are now children of God. May you understand that we have a security, we have a standing, a position before the Father that was granted to us by grace because of Christ. We have his very Spirit within him. In fact, we are reminded of the resources we have in Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures. They're not hidden to be kept, but they're reserved for his people, for us to use. Remember tonight that we serve a risen Savior. And we worship a mighty King who is coming back for his people. Remember that because of the cross of Christ, for those of you who are believers tonight, there was a time when you stood guilty and condemned before the Father. But because of Christ, you are now declared righteous in his sight. You've been justified. At one point, you were a slave to sin. But because of Christ, because he paid the debt in full, we've now been granted freedom. We've been redeemed. Before we came to Christ, we were debtors to God. But because of Christ, our debt has been paid in full. Our sins have been forgiven. We were once strangers to God. And now because of Christ, we are made children of God. We've been adopted as his children. We were once enemies and at war with God. And because of Christ, because of his finished work on the cross, we are now at peace with God. He has brought us by the hand and taken us to the Father. And he has reconciled you to the Father for eternity. And that is the sufficiency of the cross. And that is your sufficiency in Christ if you are a believer tonight. But if you are not a believer in Christ, you continue to reject Christ and to reject his work on the cross in your place, then be warned from Scripture that you still stand condemned before a righteous, holy God. Remember that sin. God hates sin. He cannot wink at sin. Sin must be dealt with. And if Christ did not take your place on the cross, then you will stand before a righteous, holy God and be condemned to eternal hell. But that is why we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, for he stood in the sinner's place. The gospel is a sinner's gospel, is it not? It's good news to sinners, because Christ came to save sinners. Christ died for sinners. the Bible commands you tonight, then, to repent, to turn away from your life of sin and of alienation and wanting to do things on your own, and to repent and to turn to God, to turn to His Son, Jesus Christ, and see that He alone has paid the debt in full, and there is nothing that you can do to appease God or to earn a righteous standing before Him. You need Christ. You need Christ. The Bible says that today, tonight, is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. For you're not promised tomorrow. None of us is promised tomorrow. Tonight might be your last night. And God is commanding you to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that by the power of His Holy Spirit, that He will illumine your hearts and that you will see your need for Christ and you will repent. Because Christ died on the cross for sinners. Romans says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who believe and all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's what the Word says. Listen to these words as I conclude. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned, He stood. He sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was He to die. It is finished, was His cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And when He comes, our glorious King, all His ransomed home to bring, then anew His song will sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior. At the cross, Jesus Christ satisfied the Father. He satisfied Him and He manifested His holiness, His justice, but also He extended and manifested His love. Romans 5:8. At the cross, and because of Jesus Christ, believers stand forgiven and are justified in God's sight. Tonight, I pray that you would see the sufficiency, the victory, and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be humbled and amazed at who He is and what He has done for the sinner. May we bow down to Him and worship Him. And may we proclaim, hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that in this short time tonight, we're able to look at the absolute sufficiency of Jesus Christ. We saw that His work on the cross is all that anyone needs to be made right with You. For there is no one else that we can call upon for salvation. For there is no other Savior at all. For He alone is the one who has made us right before You. He alone is the one who has paid the penalty for our sins for eternity. He has satisfied You, Father. And He's enabled us now to have a right relationship with You and to be able to live the way we ought to live, to bring You glory here on earth and to be ministers and those who bring forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that Your word will not return void, knowing that as Your gospel is proclaimed, You will bring sinners to Yourself. You will glorify Your Son and show His absolute sufficiency through the preaching of the gospel. May we never boast of anything else save Jesus Christ and His cross. May we magnify Christ. May we magnify His person and His work in the sinner's place. He He is our guarantee. He is our mediator. He is our king. He is our sufficiency. He is our savior. He is glorious. May we worship him, Father. Thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. And I thank you that we serve a risen savior. Amen.